as a single prayer that is offered up by some unknown believer who is struggling with his faith and with his emotions. Some Hebrew manuscripts print the two as one. Psalm 43 has no title, which is rather unusual for book two of the Psalms. Psalm 42 begins with the title, "To the Choir Master, a Maskil of the Sons of Korah." Psalm 44 has something similar there and on, but Psalm 43 has no title. And then there's this refrain about hope that you hear three times when reading both of the Psalms together. So I want to look at them together as a single prayer by some believer who is struggling with his faith. Psalm 42 and 43. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, does any of this resonate with you? Is there something in these two psalms that you can identify with? The attitude, the feelings, the emotions, and the expressions of faith. Right from the start, we hear about a problem, and this morning I'm just going to go verse by verse through these two psalms and look at what our friend has said here. But right from the start, we hear about a problem. We could describe it as spiritual drought. As a deer pants For flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now, something's happened to the person that's writing this psalm, and the problem is we don't know what. But something has obviously happened. Is he in exile? Far removed from the Holy Land and from the temple? Is he traveling far from home on business? Has he gone off to war? Is he sick? Is he ceremonially unclean and so he can't go to public worship? For some reason, he's separated from the house and the people of God, and he feels that God is missing from his life because he can't go and worship. God is missing, and he finds that this is simply too painful. And so he cries out in these two psalms to God. You know, some people can go from one day to the next and never give a thought about God. Religious people, Christians. Even if they pray, they can mouth the words of some dinner grace or a little prayer over lunch and never crosses their mind they're actually talking to a person. Sadly, even Christians can go on like this until they're forced to think about God when they come to church on Sunday. But for this believer, to know God and to live in God is as essential as drinking water. You can do without a lot of things, but you can't go without water. And he knows that, and he's feeling that. When God seems to be absent, there's just this sense of spiritual drought. And this drought now has him depressed. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Hot tears, not cool, living, flowing, fresh water. Tears, this has been his food day and night, and tears that are wrung out of him by his neighbors who are taunting him. Where's your God? You say that you believe in God. We hear it again in verse 10. As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You know, you read through the Old Testament, you hear this accusation over and over. The pagans that live around God's people, you know, where's your God? Where is this invisible friend who supposedly lives in the sky and he's supposed to take care of you? And it's a malicious question. They're not interested in knowing where God is. They're doing it on purpose to push you over the edge, to undermine your faith and your confidence and your hope in God, to push you further into spiritual and emotional darkness. And all of this hurts. I mean, you feel it more because God does seem to be absent. He seems to be at some distance from me. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. He's remembering those wonderful times when he went to worship God and the people of God were together, and they would go through the various orders of worship, the ritual, and enjoy this time of worship. He's remembering that, and remembering that, he's saying, that's not how I feel today. I'm missing something. And for some reason, again, we don't know why, he can't go and be with God's people in worship. He's kept from participating in the rituals that give structure and meaning to life. And it's one of the things that takes place in public worship. You do certain things every Sunday. You confess your sins. You sing praise to God. You bring an offering into God's presence. You lift up your prayers to God. You hear the divine benediction being pronounced. You might recite the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer or some other confession, but there are these things that you have heard so many times, and that's a ritual that has meaning and it gives structure to your life. At this point, our friend stops and begins to talk to himself about what he knows is true. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Verse 5. Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And yet, knowing that in his head doesn't seem to be helping. He's still down. He's still discouraged. Why are you cast down, my soul? Verse 5. Verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Yes, I know that the answer is simply to turn to God and put my hope in him. But I don't feel like it. Notice how much feelings of uncertainty contribute to our feeling down. You know, when we don't know what's going on, it tends to rob us of what little hope that we do have. We have no idea how to address the problem. We don't know what to think. We don't know what's going on. There's the question, when? Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? You know, how long is this going to go on? When is all this going to end? When am I going to feel better? There's the question, where? Verse 3, where is your God? Well, he's certainly not here where I can find him. I feel alone. I feel abandoned by God. In my pain and grief and worry, it seems that he's nowhere to be found. Then there's the question, why? In verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why? Now, that can be a really dangerous question. Not always. Sometimes it's helpful to ask, why? Is this the way that it is? But often it simply sends us off looking for answers where no answers are to be found. You know, in God's secret providence. The secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's only the things that are revealed that belong to us. Why is this happening to me? Why do I feel so alone? Why do I feel so dry? Spiritual drought, dryness, depression, God seems so distant. Now our friend changes the imagery. He changes the picture. He's trying to describe how he feels. And now he puts it in terms of drowning in the depths. And again, it's a metaphor that occurs throughout the Bible. We heard it this morning in Psalm 130, out of the depths I cry to you. In that psalm, the psalmist is thinking of being oppressed by his own sin, and he feels like he's in the depths and he's drowning, kind of like Jonah in the water, trying to get his head above the waves. Our friend here, he's overwhelmed. Verse 7, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He's drowning in his misery and his sense of hopelessness. And yet all is not lost. He knows enough that he should be praying. Verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And this is what he prays, verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Abandonment. Why have you forgotten me? Oppression, why are so many of my neighbors, people in my world? Why do they hate me? Why do they hate my biblical values? Why do they hate so much what seems to be obvious and true about God? Shame and ridicule. Where is your God? You say your God is your help in ages past. You know, where is he today? Why isn't God helping you? Once again, we hear him ask that question, why? Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? 10 times in 16 verses, he asked the question, why? Over and over, led down those dark alleyways, trying to find an answer, trying to find out what has gone wrong in my life, what has gone wrong in my world? Why am I feeling this way? And once again, he gives us the solution, hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. But again, you don't get the sense that this is really helping him. He's still down. He knows the answer in his head. He knows what the Bible says. But he's not yet been delivered out of the depths that he's fallen into. You. Do you know anything at all about anything that the psalmist is talking about? Have you ever been down there in the depths? Maybe you're there this morning. Things began to change. With Psalm 43, we come a bit closer to the solution. You know, for the most part, if you go back and you read Psalm 42, the psalmist is talking about God. And it's not until he gets to Psalm 43 that you begin to hear him talking to God. And I think that's going to be part of the solution. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. Friends, never give up praying. It's a real temptation, isn't it? I mean, I feel it. Why pray? I didn't get what I wanted last time, you know. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep going through the motions? Why do I get up every day and pray? It doesn't seem to be doing any good. I mean, continue to feel down, just like the psalmist in Psalm 42. You pray and nothing happens. Why do it? Do it anyway. I mean, that's what the psalmist is doing. Sometimes his prayers are just those complaints, those laments. This is what's going on. This is how I feel. You know, discouraged, overwhelmed, all alone. Well, if God seems to be gone from your life, go after him. James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Never give up praying. And then as you pray, hold on to your faith. Tell God what you believe and tell him that you do believe. Verse 2, you are the God in whom I have taken refuge. He's reaffirming what he knows to be true. Even if it doesn't always feel it, he knows it to be true and he says it again in prayer to God. And then ask God to turn on all the lights so that you can find your way back into his joyful presence. Verse 3, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. You know, you're going through a particularly bad season in life. It's a dry period. Everything's dark. You feel down. You feel lost. You want to be with God's people and you want to be in God's house. You know that that is where God causes his refreshing grace to flow freely in his presence in worship. Word, sacrament, prayer, fellowship, friendships, singing praises. But sometimes, like our friend here, you can't do that. You can't come. That's not a problem for God, is it? God can come to you. Now, that's not an excuse not to come, but here, if you're in a situation where you can't be in worship with God's people, there's great comfort in knowing that that's not a problem for God. Send out your light and your truth from your dwelling place, and let them, your light and your truth, lead me back to you. Pray for God's light. I need your light so that I can see you in my life again. God's in your life. Problem is, you just can't see it. There is some cloud that's covering the face of your Father in heaven, but he's there. Pray for God's light. Pray for God's truth. I need to know for sure that this is the way back into your joyful presence. Even when I'm kept from gathering with others for worship, I still have your word to guide me. The unfolding of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And then cultivate an attitude of worship wherever you are, whenever it may be. Verse 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, God, O God, my God. Ideally, the way will open up so that you can join with other believers in the worship of God. But even if it doesn't happen, you still have access to this altar where God is found. Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Public worship together with others is an important aspect of your spiritual health. But sometimes it can't happen. I mean, you might get deployed. Public health crisis. There might be a hurricane. You can't get to where other believers are. Being homebound due to age or illness. Traveling. You ever been traveling and you can find no place to worship? I mean, there's no place where I can expect biblical worship to be. And yet you can't let any of that stop you from worshiping the one true living God. You still worship God whenever you can worship him and wherever you may find yourself. In prayer, fixing your faith upon God in Christ, the Word of God dwelling richly within you, glorify God and enjoy him when and where you find him. Now, finally, our friend comes to the resting place that he's been longing for. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Nothing new. The words are exactly the same as we have heard it twice before in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. The notes being played are exactly the same notes, only now the key has been changed, which cast a whole new color to the song that's being sung. There's a different attitude with these words when you come to the end of Psalm 43. The same truth that was in his head all through Psalm 42 is still in his head, but now there's so much more clarity. This is much more personal. It's much more lodged, as it were, in his heart rather than just in his head. I know the answer, hope in God. Now there seems to be something that he's really laying hold of. All of this expressed by the prayer that he has addressed to God through Psalm 43. I think that he's embracing the beatitude that we studied last Sunday, James chapter 1, verse 12. The psalmist has pushed through all of the pain and all of the darkness that he finds himself still standing. He's still holding on to God. He's embracing now this beatitude. Blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial. That is the one who has gone through that period of spiritual darkness. The one who has gone down into the depths. The one who has struggled with the disappointments of life. Crying out, where is God? When is all of this going to end? This person has pushed through all of that. His faith has been tested. Blessed is this believer who has stood the test of his faith and will now receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. What C.S. Lewis once said about faith applies to hope. Lewis said, it is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. It's an art. It's a science and it's an art. There are certain things that you can do and you can predict what will happen if you do these kind of things. But it is an art. It is taking the truth of God and applying it to your situation. In that sense, you can't just tell somebody, do these three easy steps and you'll be feeling better by the end of the day. It's an art, the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted. You've bought into the gospel in spite of your changing moods and circumstances. Friends, remain steadfast in hope, come what may. Pray and keep on praying. Draw near to God. Keep your faith centered on God as he's revealed himself to you in Jesus Christ. Pray for God's light to guide you and then walk in that light as God shows you the truths of his word. Hope in God. Let's pray. Father, every Sunday there's that sense of easier said than done. And yet I thank you for that sense because it continually throws us back on your sovereign sustaining grace. Help us always to be dependent upon you, to always pray, to always direct our faith toward you, to always hold on to you in hope. Father, we pray that you would use your word. Help us to review this psalm and to walk back through verse by verse and to pray over each verse and to sense what it is that resonates between this believer that we've listened to this morning and us. Help us to understand and to be honest about the the genuine feelings that are within our minds and hearts. Help us to follow through and to find the answer as He found it. That there is forgiveness with You, there is hope, there is a path of life, there are pleasures forevermore waiting for those that love You. And so this week, use this service, word, sacrament, and prayer to increase the hope that we have within, that You are and always will be a good and gracious Father in heaven to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
This morning we have an opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper. Words of institution are found in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Paul is writing this letter to believers and answering questions and talking about things that they were concerned about, bothered about. And one of the issues that concerned them was the Lord's Supper. There seemed to have been a problem going on, but in the following instructions, I did not commend you because when you come together,